From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 7th day of June 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard, the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company, out of Ludlow, Illinois. In agricultural news, the California courts are dealing with legislation that could impact farm chemicals used right here in the Midwest, and the House Ag Committee this week met to take up the farm bill, and after just 30 minutes, left the meeting and the draft unchanged. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. Hey, don't forget that as we close out our half hour together, we'll talk about the weather forecast with meteorologist and state climatologist Jim Angel. And along the way, we'll hear about pork producers in the U.S. and how they've been feeling pressures on their industry ease just a bit this spring with a setback of prices for corn and soybeans.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
Let's check the numbers on this Friday afternoon from Chicago at the CME Group, where the soft red winter wheat finished at $6.96 and a quarter in the July. The settlement price a penny and a half lower, September down three quarters at $7.04 and three quarters. The Kansas City hard red finished at $7.35 for the harvest month July, down 3.5 cents. From the corn pit in Chicago, nearby July contract, $6.66 and a quarter, up three. September at $5.91 and a half, up 13.5, and December at $5.58 and a half. Up 10 and a quarter. March contract at $5.68 and three quarters, 10 cents higher, and the May futures at $5.76, up a dime. July of next year at $5.82 and a quarter, up 9.5 cents. July soybeans gained a penny to finish at $15.28 and a quarter, and the August at $14.56 and a quarter, up 6.5. September $13.74, up 18 and three quarters, and November beans $13.30 and a quarter, a gain today of 24.5 cents. January futures up 24.5 as well at $13.35 and a quarter. Bean meal down $1.50 at $452.50 and bean oil at $48.53, 37 cents higher. Live cattle futures finished the August contract at $119.22.5, down 80. October 47.5 lower at $122.60. September feeders at $145.80 were down $1.10. The August there, that's the lead option at $143.62.5, a buck 2.5 lower. And the lean hogs finished the July contract at $96.20, 37.5 cents higher. This is Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Arbob gasoline trading at $2.87.1. That's up 2 cents for the day. Ethanol at $2.51, up 2.2. The difference between the two is now 36.1. Crude oil futures at $96.14 a barrel, up $1.38. And natural gas at $3.82.9. That's 0.2 cents higher. The New York Harbor ultra low diesel fuel or heating oil, that is, at $2.89.7. That's up 2.6. And the gold futures on the day at $1,383.10, down $32.70. The U.S. dollar trading 81.66. That's 0.13 higher for the afternoon. Let's check out what's been happening in the weather forecast. Of course, at the bottom of the half hour, we'll talk with Jim Angel. He's at the Illinois State Water Survey and serves as the state climatologist. The National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon is now calling for skies to be cloudy for the afternoon with a high of about 73 degrees for the day. Tonight, isolated showers before 7 in the evening, partly cloudy and a low 53, and then tomorrow mostly sunny skies and a high of 77. Partly cloudy on Saturday evening and 59, and on Sunday showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, a high of 79. South-southwest wind then at 10 to 17, gusting to 24. Chance of precipitation on Sunday set at 60% for the afternoon. Sunday night showers and thunderstorms likely before 1. 60% chance continues, and then on Monday a 40% chance of showers, partly sunny and a high of 77 degrees. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. This is Illinois Public Media. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. You can always find us online at WILLAG.org.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
On this Friday afternoon, time to check the futures markets. On the phone line with us to take a look at those and what's been happening in Chicago is from Lafayette, Indiana, Mike Zuzulo, a global commodity analytics and consultant. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Hey there, Todd.
Well, there were some interesting things that happened this week in the marketplace, technically, if you look at the marketplace, especially in the corn where we had the nearby or lead option July finish up with an outside up week,
right?
Did not fill the gap,
right?
And the lead up, and then the December, the new crop, finished out with an outside down week, and it didn't fill the gap that was left just a couple of weeks ago either.
No, and you had the fundamentals working in favor of that type of price action, I think, Todd, because your interior corn basis remained very firm. You had really good ethanol demand, the best production figure since June of 2012, based upon Department of Energy numbers. And at the same time, you had December corn really trying to find its way through the darkness. And had November beans not kind of led it by the hand higher, especially yesterday and today, when the market finally decided that they were going to price in weather premium and took into consideration both models, short-term and medium-term models for the weekend, predicting very wet weather for the Western Corn Belt. Had it not been for that November bean contract, I think the December corn probably would have had a much tougher time turning around and not being down more than 8 3/4 on the week and probably would have filled that gap. And so the other thing I think came in today was we did see some funds jump in terms of rolling. We had heard Deutsche Bank was probably going to be involved early this week, and then followed up with Goldman rolling from July to the next contract late in the week. I think that's where September corn, especially, and in terms of percentage terms, was definitely the winner on the day. And I think that, too, helped the December soften the blow of the trade, you know, technically looking pretty weak as a weekly close.
You mentioned that the July soybeans and November soybeans have both posted a really good day. They finished the week higher. But it actually all came on this Friday's trade.
It did. And, you know, you've got, not only did you have new weekly highs in November beans, you had the best level since early February. And this is where my pricing model comes back in, especially as we head towards a report next week and tries to help suggest what is the trade pricing in at 1330 November beans, best level since February of last year. Where were we in U.S. carryover in February of last year? And that's where USDA came in with a 12-13 carryover of 169 million bushels. And so at 1330, 1325 November beans, I think you're well under 200 million bushel carryover at this stage of the game in terms of what the actual price is showing in November beans. Clearly, there's other factors involved here. Obviously, the first and foremost is the July-November bean spread. That has been the rock of Gibraltar, as has the meal. But I would give a warning flag to the July Nov beans bull spreaders at this point. We went down to around $2. We were able to bounce like a rubber ball middle of the week. We went up, made new weekly highs, but we settled back close to that $2 level. I think if you take that $2 level out after the report comes out, you've probably lost your front-end support. So that's where your carryover number and at the price level of new crop beans we're at right now. And then you throw on top of that the fact we're still trading close to 2.4 on that bean-corn ratio we talked about on Commodity Week last week. Beans have a premium in them. It depends on what USDA says as far as how much premium.
You think the World Agricultural Outlook Board will adjust much the WASDE figures, at least the supply side?
I think they'll move on the corn much more aggressive than they will the beans. I guess I feel like they're going to take a stair-step approach, much like they did last year. I feel exactly like I did last year at this time, only it's wet weather being the harbinger of lower production and lower supply instead of drought. It was funny, after this morning's conversation with Dave, our good friend Fred Baker up in Streeter called me and he said, "You're one of the few people out there talking about how bad it is as far as the crop side and what the corn looks like in this neck of the woods, and that goes all the way into Iowa. So I do get the sense, and I'm getting confirmation from anecdotal people like Fred and other clients saying, look, we're in a situation not unlike last year, and the trade doesn't realize how bad our stands are and how bad our emergences are in certain fields and certain regions of the country. And it's a pretty big region from what I can gather.
Have you gone back and looked at the 1993 weekly crop progress reports or some of the WASD figures to see what USDA had done at that time? That would be the last time we had nearly so much rainfall.
Yeah, this is where the 1993, I think, is going to turn out pretty similar to this year if we continue with the wet pattern for the next 10 days, because they initially took the market up after a May low, and then we corrected and took almost all the gains back during the month of June. But guess what? June was extremely wet, and one of the wetter 1993 was one of the wetter months of June that they had seen in the last 20 or 30 years. And so then the market caught wind and understood that not only did we lose harvested acres from the flooding in the springtime, but we also had additional flooding that was going to take yield away. And we ended up losing, I think, around 20% of our yield between what the USDA forecasted in May of 93 to what they came up with in November, December of 1993. I think we went from 115 down to 100 or 120 down to 100 and lost 15 to 20% of our yield on top of, I think, about a 6 million acreage, a harvested acreage drop. So the weather and the crop conditions did come around, but it seemed like it was slow to come around, and the trade was certainly slow to factor that in.
You think we'll have a better indication via the Prevent plant, whether it's very popular or not?
I think it's happening. I mean, you asked that on Commodity Week last week, and I kind of dodged it because I hadn't gotten a lot of feedback. This week I got a lot more feedback, a lot more guys are taking it, and a lot more guys are suspecting that they're just going to leave their fields fallow if they can't get around the chemical issue. I think what it boiled down to is they don't want to fight the yield problem if we turn off hot and dry, because that fear is very present in the producers' minds that I've spoken with, that if they try and force it without the help of crop insurance, if they turn off hot and dry, they're really going to be lost.
Anything on the livestock we ought to take up?
Look at the chart between hogs and beans. Interesting to note that we're at the highest level in June hogs since early February, just like the November beans. I think this is indicative of the fund buying and the demand bullishness that the market's been pricing in here the last 3 or 4 weeks. So I'd be very wary of the hog market as we get into next week's trade as well.
Yeah, the hog market is really moving higher. What, at $98.12 was the finish in the June. The Julys were up $2.35 on the week at $96.20. That's a pretty good price. Will it? I guess you're thinking it could break back pretty hard, but would this be a price that would be forcing producers to consider expansion?
I think they're at that level, but they've had disease problems, and they've had some problems with a flu-like disease that's been talked quite a bit about at the Pork Expo this week. My clients have seen it as well in certain regions of the country. So that's really, though, goes back to your November, December marketings, more so your summer marketings. And so I think there is a premium in this market, and with the weekly charts at about 90% overbought on my stochastics, given that and given that I think we finally priced in the Smithfield deal going through, even though it may not, it hasn't been done yet, I think the market's been trying to price that in. I think there is a premium to hedge here.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd. Have a great weekend.
Hey, you too. That's Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Lafayette, Indiana, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens on this Friday afternoon.
Learnard Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Learnard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Learnard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. The Director of Ag Programming for WillAg.org is here now. He'll help us take a look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, just weeks after a California court dismissed a pesticides lawsuit that could have affected hundreds of chemicals across all 50 states, an environmental group has filed an amended complaint. in a 437-page amended complaint filed with the court. The Center for Biological Diversity attempts to make the connection between how actual EPA actions on more than 80 chemicals used in hundreds of name-brand pesticides across the country could be harming hundreds of endangered species. The new complaint includes the same list of hundreds of affected species, but a much smaller list of chemicals, including those used by corn farmers, atrazine and 2,4-D. The House Agriculture Appropriations Subcommittee this week spent about 30 minutes in a session convened to mark up the fiscal 2014 spending bill for USDA, the Food and Drug Administration, and Commodity Futures Trading Commission. The panel left unchanged the draft as was presented. The expectation is that any amendments to the proposal will surface during the full committee markup that most likely will take place next week. The National Pork Board has approved $450,000 to help veterinarians learn more about porcine epidemic diarrhea virus, or PED, and search for more preventive measures to reduce its spread. The Iowa Pork Producers Association also has added $77,000 for the project. PED was not found in the U.S. swine herd until an infection was discovered at the end of April, with official confirmation of the disease happening about 2 weeks ago. Pork industry officials have since reported PED has confirmed in 103 barns across 11 states. Producers whose herds have been confirmed contracting the disease are being asked to fill out a 13-page survey that basically asks about every contact coming into the barn. The chief executive officer of Tyson Foods says the poultry and livestock producer may have to import corn from South America before the next U.S. harvest. Donnie Smith said the supply of corn will be very tight. USDA projects U.S. corn imports will total 125 million bushels in the marketing year ending August 31st, up from 29 million bushels the prior year. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Both programs you can find on our website at willag.org. Daryl Good will be our guest this week on Commodity Week, and we'll talk with Dan Zwicker and Elaine Cubb and Bill Mayer during the program. Now, up next, you know, pork producers in the United States have felt the financial pressures on their industry ease a bit this spring. Still, the slow pace of corn and soybean planting in the Midwest has tempered those economic gains. The U.S. pork industry had been suffering losses trying to feed high-priced corn over the last year, courtesy of the drought of 2012. Just as they were beginning to feel that pinch ease this spring, with the release of a USDA figure showing more corn on hand than expected, the squeeze is back on. This time around, it has to do with the weather again, but too much rain rather than too little, says Purdue University Extension ag economist Chris Hurt.
Now, delayed planting is raising concerns about fewer planted acres and reduced yields, and that has most recently sent the corn and soybean meal prices back trending higher. And, of course, that has concerns for hog production cost that may not drop as much as had been anticipated.
Well, it means, says Hurt, rather than making a profit later this year, pork producers will just break even. The Ag Economist's break-even benchmark, by the way, includes family living expenses and means the producer can continue to work and live off the net income from the farm. Here's how Hurt thinks feed prices will fare over time.
Now, prices for corn and soybean meal are expected to drop sharply into the late summer and fall as we make that transition over to the new crop supplies. Current estimates are for fourth quarter corn prices to be about $1.25 lower than they are for the average this summer, and for soybean meal prices to be about $40 a ton lower. So obviously that's going to drop cost of production from what we think will be around $67 for the third quarter, down to around $60 of cost in the final quarter of 2013.
Hold the phone. If the cost of production drops from $67 a head to $60 a head, won't that mean a profit is realized? That's just it. The price of hogs is expected to drop back too.
Hog prices, we think, are going to be near that $60 level also for the final quarter of this year, as well as the first quarter of 2014. So it kind of perpetuates the break-even conditions for the rest of this year and into the first quarter of 2014.
Looking a bit further out, Chris Hurt says next year, 2014, appears to be a better year for hog farmers around the nation, with lower corn and soybean prices leading to more likely profits. Still, Hurt says those hog farmers considering expansion of their herds should wait until there is a better handle on the size of this year's fall harvest. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at WILLAG.org. On a Friday afternoon, time to check the cash grain market. On the phone line with us, Bruce Bostert. He's at the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
A little bit of a higher price for the week in the corn market, at least in Old Crop. Not by much, but still some. Any movement there?
We've seen a little bit of cash movement. We hit a couple times a $7 magic number, and that cranked out some offers. New Crop, corn and beans, both, as we saw the earlier rally today, a pretty good pop in new crop beans, and people have some beans in the field. So we've seen a little bit of selling. Now, part of that is just that we're a little bit overdue. The sales right now, we've got a lot less new crop sales on the books than we had a year ago, and the purchases from this last year were lower than we have been for the 3 or 4 years before that.
Producers have been reluctant sellers, mostly because they've had higher prices at fall and in the year following, rather than previous to crop coming in. Do you suppose that will run its course again this year?
As soon as we all get on the bandwagon and quit fighting the last battle, then it'll switch and kind of whipsaw us, I think.
That's usually the case, is it not?
Yeah.
Back to Old Crop. Do you think there's much corn left in your area? I've heard inklings that there are maybe a few more bushels out there than some had expected.
Oh, there's a few more bushels. I'm seeing a little bit wander in that I didn't think there was anything left out there. A lot of people have a few bushels that they haven't sold that are kind of gambling stocks to wait and see what happened. Overall, though, there's an awful lot of bins that are being cleaned out at elevators right now.
And your expectations for basis over the next couple of weeks?
I think we stay strong. Beans, we've had our big pop in beans. As long as the board wants to do the work, I think the basis will be willing to kind of take a step back and let it. But I don't see a rapid sell-off on it. Corn, I think, same thing. It continues to be a pretty good basis until we're a little bit further along.
Bruce,
part of what's helping us is that we've pushed harvest back.
Thank you so much, Bruce.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bruce Bostert is with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company. He's in Ludlow, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
It's National Chocolate Ice Cream Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1848, Bernhard Bang was born. A Danish veterinarian, he discovered the bacteria that caused contagious abortion in cattle. His teachings, along with the introduction of antiseptics, was a huge step forward in veterinary surgery. Bang was instrumental in showing that tuberculosis could be transmitted by cow's milk and in developing isolation techniques. He was the first to use tuberculin on cattle as a way of discovering which cows needed to be culled from herds. and he was among the first to create clean breeding centers for cattle. In 1886, Richard Hoe died, an American inventor. He developed and manufactured the first successful rotary printing press. In 1935, Ivan Michurin died, a Russian horticulturalist. He was responsible for crossbreeding over 300 new types of fruit trees and berries, some of which could survive harsh Russian winters. His ideas on hybrids that acquired characteristics were inherited, eventually became state doctrine, and was held as a uniquely communist approach to agriculture. In 1939, grapefruit-sized hail killed hundreds of farm animals in Rock County, Minnesota. And in 1914, Alliance became the first vessel to pass through the Panama Canal. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Friday afternoon, the 7th day of June. On the phone line is the state climatologist from the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute, Jim Angel. Jim, thanks so much for taking the time with us. Can you help us understand how the month of May closed out as it compares to other years?
Yeah, good afternoon, Todd. Yeah, this May was the 12th wettest May on record across the state. We had 6.9 inches, which was a little over 2 inches above the long-term average. And by contrast, May of last year, we only had 2.5 inches. So 6.9 versus 2.5, certainly a big difference there. And if you look at the spring period, the March, April, May together, we had 16.7 inches, which is a little over 5 inches above the average, and the fifth wettest spring on record. So there again, you know, compared to last year, we only had 7.8 inches. So more than double of what we saw last year and well above average. So a very wet spring. That's probably no surprise to anyone. Probably the wettest area for May was kind of in the western part of the state over by Springfield and Quincy and Galesburg, and some of those places really got hit pretty hard. And the highest number I saw was at Prairie City, which is in McDonough County, with 14 inches. So pretty impressive totals over there.
And I suspect they got most of that in a very short time frame, not in the entirety of the month, but maybe the last 10 or 12 days of the month of the week.
That's right. Yeah, a lot of that fell towards the end of the month there, and that caused big problems to have that much rain over a short period of time, especially falling on soils that were already saturated.
What about as we look forward? Can they see any relief?
Well, there's a little bit of relief in the, at least in the forecast. You know, we've had some fairly nice weather this week. There is a chance of rain on Sunday and Sunday night and Monday. The amounts are fairly widespread across the state, but they seem to be fairly modest, less than an inch of potential of precipitation out of those guys. So it's maybe not at this stage look like it's going to be like the 3 and 4 inches we have been getting hammered with. But there is that chance going through Monday. And then we've got a couple of clear days, Monday night and Tuesday and on into Wednesday look pretty clear. And then there's the next system comes in later on in the week, so we could get another shot of rain. Temperatures this week will be fairly mild, be upper 70s, maybe close to 80 degrees, lows in the 60s. So kind of feel the humidity starting to creep up this week as we move forward.
When we get 6 to 10 days out, what do we see?
Yeah, if you look at that forecast, the 6 to 10 day and 8 to 14 day forecast on temperatures or for near normal temperatures, precipitation-wise, they do show us with increased odds of above normal precipitation. So they're expecting this wet pattern to continue not only in Illinois but here eastward, so on to the East Coast.
All right. Anything else to add before I let you go?
I think that's it.
Thank you so much, Jim.
Okay, you're welcome.
Jim Angel is at the Illinois State Water Survey. The Prairie Research Institute joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. Don't forget that we'll post Commodity Week, our weekend program, to the website at WILLAG.org by about 6 o'clock this evening. Our guest in Commodity Week, pre-recorded during the earlier part of the week, is Daryl Good. Our panelists, Dan Zwicker, Bill Mayer, and Elaine Cobb. Have a great week. I'm Todd Gleason.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.